The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 381, recorded on March 20th, 2015.
Welcome to the 381st edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 214th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Paul S. Novak.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry and often includes educational segments.
Yeah, but not this week. We're going to be very uneducational. We're going to be anti-educational. We're going to make info leave your brain. No, I'm kidding. Now... There's a little bit of a side note to last week's episode. For one, this is really weird, and I don't know what happened, but we only had 137 hits on last week's episode.
Wow, really? That doesn't sound like us.
And the previous episode had over 800 hits at this time. So
like, we usually get 2,000 or 3,000 listeners out there.
I'm sorry. And we got one listener feedback, and that literally came just as you were entering the door.
Wow, that's rather upsetting.
And I think it may be just an outlier. You know, something weird happened or something like that.
I don't know. It might be our fans telling us to pack it up.
Is that what you want?
That's not what I want, but that's the message that they're sending to me. If I'm wrong, listeners, please tell me.
The other thing regarding last week's episode is that we discussed Cities Skylines. Remember the Paradox version of SimCity?
Yes, I vaguely remember such things.
And I said, well, you know, they probably, you know, don't use Windows XP. Well, guess what? I was wrong. The minimum system requirements for that game allows for Windows XP.
Fantastic.
So long as you have 64-bit Windows, which I'm pretty sure you do. I don't know
if you pry my Windows XP out of my cold, dead hands.
So,
it was the last operating system they made that was worth a damn.
Will you reward them $30 for staying with Windows XP and also making a SimCity game that isn't micromanaged? I mean, microtransactioned. And this,
speaking of microtransaction DA games, I've been playing The Sims Free Play all week.
Really?
Yes. Because
the other EA microtransaction fest you were playing was Dungeon Keeper.
Yeah, I kind of stopped playing that for some reason.
Because you were tired of having to wait?
Possibly. Yeah. Very, very possibly.
Wait a minute. What happened to that other game that you said that you started playing again? Jeez, I forgot.
Heyday?
Yeah.
I am still playing Heyday. That game is so good that they just launched a new weekly team competition feature, which is awesome.
Ooh. So tell us about this new Sims game.
It's The Sims Free Play. It really is.
Well, is it like The Sims Society Social?
Yes and no.
It's not multiplayer.
No, it is multiplayer. Oh, okay. But...
wait, is this on Facebook? Is this on Facebook or?
No, it's on mobile.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe if it's multiplayer, maybe I'll partake, and then you can visit my house.
You should. I sent you a request, and it wouldn't be just your house; it would be your entire neighborhood.
Oh, okay. That's
it's structured in a very I wouldn't say interesting way. I know it's not true. I would say interesting, but I wouldn't mean like.
Weird.
Good. Yeah, it'd be more like odd sort of interesting. Like kind of in the way that a car crash is interesting.
That's not a good analogy there, saying that the game is a car crash.
Well, no, I'm not saying that the game is a car crash. I'm saying that it's like the reasons behind a car crash would be interesting. You know, like the way like a cat ran out into the road and the driver swerved because he respects life and accidentally ended up killing a person. Like that kind of a thing.
You know, that reminds me of Goat Simulator, a game we discussed last week. And I found out a little bit more about it, and that it started as just a goof. And part of the reason why people love it is that the bugginess made it entertaining. And so basically it's sort of like...
Did the bugs do anything cool?
Yeah, it was physics-based bugs, and those are always funny. And
okay.
Now you just have the goat going into things and colliding with things and exploding and all that. They even, and there's now an MMO version of it. And one of the classes you can be is a microwave. And the only reason for that is because it's a video game and you can do that.
Of course you can be a microwave.
A microwave with legs. Yeah. So it is.
My parents told me I can be anything I wanted when I grew up. So I grew up to be a jerk.
Now, how involved is SimCity's, what is it? SimCity Free Play or?
The Sims Free Play.
The Sims Free Play.
It's, I really feel like they kind of have a couple of things just not really going for them in the right direction.
Okay.
Essentially.
This I gotta look up. Oh, there we go.
I mean, essentially they, Here's the thing. I don't mind spending money on a microtransaction game. The problem with a microtransaction game is that if you're going to make it free to play, you have to make it free to play. Don't give me 10 hours to do a 24-hour task with the only way to achieve that goal.
Is this sort of like quote unquote Candy Crush free play in which you have to pay to get to the next levels or?
No. It's, you could have just about as much interaction by setting a bunch of kitchen timers, that all go anywhere from 1 hour to 9 hours. So you come in, you do exactly one thing and then you're done for the day.
Right.
I mean, and early levels are really, really frustrating in periods like that.
Yeah.
It's like why am I doing this?
So looking at the site, it's available for PC via Amazon, Google, Android, iOS, and Windows Phone. So there's that. And it looks like the graphics from The Sims 3, actually.
It's graphics-wise, it's really nifty.
Okay. So, yeah, I'll have to check it out, see how much of the free-to-play I can stomach.
It's just very frustrating when, like, you have to set, you know, let's set you a task to, like, bake a turkey, and it takes literally 4 hours, and your character can do nothing else. It's like, come on, guys, you gave me only one character to play, I can't create anybody else, and this is the task you set me? Really?
Hey.
So it's like, being the activity of being nice is 1 minute, but, you know, the activity of
sitting around doing nothing.
Right. It's just the times are all kind of off. The hobby system is not at all intuitive, and you can't do, you know, you can't have more than one hobby per person. The careers are really kind of annoying and tough to unlock.
Uh-oh.
It's so close to being good.
Well, fortunately, this is one of those games in which they can just keep tweaking it until it, you know, it gets better.
But the problem is that you're giving your existing player base a bad experience.
Yeah, I know, but that's just it. You know, all you have to do is give them feedback, and hopefully they'll change. You know, they'll change, and you can, you know, and you'll be satisfied with the product. So we'll see. I'll check it out myself, and give my two bits on it. I have not played many video games this week. I have been playing Tron 2.0, which was on Steam, and I had to get a special patch just to be able to play it on Steam for whatever reason. One of those annoying things that you have to do to play older games. Although this game isn't that old. It's like from 2003, I think, or 2004. Anyway,
that's not exactly new in the world of video games. I hate to tell you.
It still holds up very, very well. I'll say that much. I strongly recommend it. If you get it on Steam, make sure you get the little patch or software program so that it can run normally, or else it'll just hang in a loop of asking if you want to allow the game to go. Okay, do you want to allow the game to go? Okay, do you want to allow the game to play? Oh, you want to allow the game? You know, just that infinite loop of just asking if you want the game to play. You know, so getting Windows permission over and over and over and over again because it's, you know. The big thing that happened to me this week in terms of gaming is that it was a board game, and I got a copy of Pandemic State of Emergency, which is the third expansion for Pandemic. And
congratulations.
I will say it kicked my ass pretty well. This is, now, for those who don't know what Pandemic is, it's a co-op game in which you're fighting four diseases and you're trying to cure them. And these Super Crisis cards just are devilish. And here's the thing. Pandemic is one of those games in which you want to win, but, you know, when you lose, it's like you don't mind losing because it's a co-op game. You didn't lose to anybody. You lost to the game. You know, you didn't lose to other people. Other people were with you, and they failed alongside with you.
Yes, but I don't usually mind losing to other people.
No, but I mean,
it's not that.
I mean, it's more like, okay, you got us this time. Now we're going to try again and get you again. And as with any co-op game, you know, you can make it harder and harder and harder until it becomes nearly impossible. And then it becomes sort of like getting that, you know, getting that last carrot, you know. I'm going to get you sometime. You think you're going to get me, but I'm going to beat you on impossible. You know.
I'll get you next time, Gadget.
That's basically it. No, I'll get you next time, Gadget.
I'll get you next time, Gadget. Next time.
You know, every time at the end of that cartoon, I always thought it was his boss who was actually Dr. Claw, because his mouth was moving as Dr. Claw was speaking. And I thought...
But you're talking about the credit sequence, and there was a split screen... I know that sequence very well.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but that would have been a great twist, though, wouldn't it? I mean, Dr. Claw is his handler, you know, and the reason why he sends a Gadget out is because he knows Gadget's incompetent and can't do anything.
You know what really bothers me, though, is that with the advent of the internet and that horrible, horrible action figure that they made, whose only selling point was that they made an action figure of Dr. Claw that showed his face, you can now go look that up. And
In the movie, that was... Damn, I forgot his name. You know, Rupert Everett. Wasn't it?
Yes,
Rupert
Everett?
The thing is that, you know, David Kellogg directed that movie, and he also directed the Vanilla Ice movie, Cool as Ice, and you can tell because it has the same ADD directorial style. And over the years, I've realized that Matthew Broderick is one of the worst actors in America. The worst. Absolute worst. He cannot act his way out of a paper bag.
I never really liked him.
And he does it badly.
I never really liked him.
Yeah. Although, speaking of Matthew Broderick, and the most vague connection here is the producers, I was surprised to find out Gene Wilder was still alive. I thought he died after Gilda Radner died, but he's still alive and he's writing. I was shocked to realize that. Not connected with anything we're talking about, but I just thought I'd bring that up.
This time on the Gilda Radner Hour.
Yeah, I remember her appearance on Gary Shandling show, and she was in the midst of her cancer, you know, full blown cancer, and she was there. She had, you know, those do rags that cancer patient wears because they're bald and all that, and she was there and she was a trooper, and it was just so heartwarming and heartbreaking at the same time to watch her doing it. So if you ever, I don't know if it's on Netflix or if it's on YouTube, but if you ever do the Gary Shandling show with Gilda Radner, do it.
This is the Gary Shandling show, the opening scene to Gary show. Gary called me up and asked if I would write the theme song. We're almost to the part. That's where I start to whistle. Then we'll watch It's Gary Shandling show.
I'm impressed you know the lyrics. I mean, I did not have Showtime, so...
That was the theme to Gary Shandling show.
I had to watch it on Comedy Central, so because I did not have Showtime. Anyways, moving back to video games. the Gary Shandling show video game. That would be incredible. By the way, whatever happened to Gary Shandling? I remember he was in Over the Hedge, and then he dropped off the face of the earth.
I neither know nor care.
You don't
like most people.
Gary Shandling? Oh.
I neither know nor care.
Oh, I prefer Dr. Katz anyway. So,
you're making my brain hurt.
What, you didn't like Dr. Katz?
No. The thought of that squiggly animation.
You ever watch Home Movies? Home Movies was in Squigglevision for the first year, then they dropped it.
I don't care for Squigglevision.
I know, but if you ever watch Home Movies, it's fantastic. Anyways, going to video game news. Hey, we killed 5 minutes, folks.
That's what happens when you don't write in, folks.
We killed 5 minutes. Well, someone did write in.
Yeah, one person.
Last second, yeah. I'll start. Free Windows 10 for pirates, and this comes to us from Games Industry Biz. Microsoft is preparing for the release of its new OS, Windows 10. In January, we announced it would be offered as a free upgrade to people running Windows 7, Windows 8.1, and Windows Phone 8.1. And now it's confirmed that the offer is even open to those who downloaded those products illegally. According to Microsoft spokesperson to Eurogamer, we are excited to launch Windows 10 this summer. Anyone with a qualified device can upgrade to Windows 10, including those with pirated copies of Windows. We believe that customers over time will realize the value of properly licensing Windows, and we will make it easy for them to move to the legitimate copies. Windows 10 will be available this summer in 190 countries and 111 languages. I have to wonder how much money they spend in localization.
I would imagine a lot.
Yeah. And Microsoft has been keen to push the value of the product for gamers, with ID at Xbox expanding its remit to the service and Fable Legends, the new free-to-play outing for the franchise, appearing on Windows 10. Windows 10 will also allow remote play of Xbox One games. An easygoing approach to pirates isn't unusual for indie studios, but this is an unexpected move from the PC software giant. So, what do you think of this, Paul?
Is it going to be a free upgrade?
Yeah, it's
like 100%
free. It's going to be free. A year after after its release, it's going to be 100% free. That's what they said.
I think that if I were to guess, I would think that somebody finally realized that they have far too many operating systems out there from their last good one of Windows XP, where people refused to let go of it.
I wonder who that could possibly be.
Through, like, what was next? Windows 7, Windows 7 Pro, Windows 8.
I forgot Windows,
Windows
Vista.
Windows ME, Windows Vista. I mean, they've got, like, six or seven operating systems
Microsoft's
out there.
Bob.
I mean, it's kind of silly. So I think that they finally realized that they no longer care about the money that they lost to pirates, which each and every one of those systems. They want as many people to convert to Windows 10 as humanly possible. Otherwise, they're going to really no longer be the leader in operating systems.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of their money does not come from the consumer level, actually. It comes from, one, the business level, and, B, the hardware level, in which, you know, people have to pay them to pre-install Windows 10 on a desktop or a laptop, you know.
Right. So it behooves them to educate as many people as possible on the new operating system.
And businesses, you know, spend money like fish. You know, they don't care. They'll just pay for the Windows 10, you know. So they have that market. So I think, yeah, I mean, it's the consumer level in which they're trying to get, you know, they're in no danger from Linux or Apple or anything like that in terms of operating languages. But, you know, you want people to be using your new stuff. I mean, we have people who still refuse to play anything that's not Windows XP, like a certain person on this podcast, you know?
If they gave me a quality product, then I would. I would easily update.
And that's the other thing. If you're going to give away Windows 10, you better make sure, you know, it's really, really good to use.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine if they give it away and it sucks?
Yeah, that's the problem, is that, you know, your first impression is always the best one. And people will not be waiting for people talking about the problems with Windows, you know. No, they'll be getting in. They'll be experiencing those problems themselves, you know. And they're not going to wait. It's not like you wait and listen for, you know, for – there's a time limit here. 1 year, it's free. You know, so they're not going to wait for people to word of mouth about what the bugs are or whatever that is. You know, I have a feeling it's just going to be basically a pimped out version of Windows 8, you know, with Windows 8, but it's all fixed and brand new and shiny with everything. Because that's basically what Windows 7 was. Windows 7 is Vista, but Vista done right. So it's sort of like it takes them two tries to get an OS right, right? So,
and that's kind of like, you know, I have a couple of backup computers that aren't really as powerful, but are newer, and have, you know, Windows 7 or Windows 8, and I'll update those before I update my Windows XP computer, just to see if it's worth my, doing. I would almost rather keep my Windows XP on my main computer and update all the other computers, just because I have no idea if the new system is going to be stable, if it's going to be worth my time and energy. Like, I hate all of the other versions of Windows. Like, they're awful.
You know, there's a story. I don't know if you heard this one. Tim Schafer talked about how he was, I think he was on a plane or, you know, he's traveling, right? Mm-hmm. And someone came up to him and gave him a $20 bill and said, I pirated your game and I really enjoyed it. Here's $20. You know? So I'm, you know, if you give this, you know, free, and also you don't care if they're upgrading a pirated copy of Windows, Microsoft is basically, you know, saying, you know what, look, you're going to, what's it called? You're going to love this. And, you know, at some point you're going to repay us in some way, you know, because we know you're going to get this anyway. If we, you know, we can't protect our ROS to save it from you. So you know what? For a year, you can have it free, and that way we know that after the year is over, there won't be any pirating of this software. You know, why pirate something that's available for free for the first year? I mean, kind of pointless if you do it after a year. Why did you wait so long? I don't know. I just was a lazy pirate. You know?
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, I mean, imagine the amount of money they're going to be saving this way, because they don't have to worry about piracy of Windows 10 at all.
Oh, that's true, too.
You can't pirate something you can't steal something that's free, you know.
True, but you can go and pirate, I don't know, Windows 8.
Yeah, but you know, but that's just that they're forgiving people who pirate Windows 7, Windows 8, and Windows Phone, you know, and saying, you know.
Right, but just because Windows 10 comes out for free, you have to have something. You know?
The other thing I'm thinking about, and I'm wondering if Microsoft is thinking about this, is that in order to crack an OS, you have to change the OS, right? So if you make it so that you don't have to, I'm wondering if that means there will be less corrupt copies of OS there going around, you know? I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't pirate my copy of Windows, but I'm happy that I'll be able to get Windows 10 for free. I just hope that they do a good job on it. I don't want to have my computer brick because someone did, you know, screwed up somewhere.
Right.
Anyways, moving on to the next item. Go ahead, Paul. It's not Godzilla news, no. I'll put a Godzilla sound effect there, the Godzilla roar.
Kojima breaks silence over departure rumors, and this comes to us from videogamer.com. Hideo Kojima has spoken out for the first time after rumors emerged stating that he is to leave Konami later this year. In a joint statement released with Konami, Kojima said, quote, I want to reassure fans that I am 100% involved and will continue working on Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. I'm determined to make it the greatest game I've directed to date. Don't miss it. Rumors suggesting that Kojima is to leave...
Kojima.
Yeah, but that's not what this says.
You said Kojomo.
Whatever, that's not what this says. Rumors suggesting that Kojima is to leave Konami... emerged yesterday.
No. Kojima Productions.
Really?
He's going to leave. Yeah, he's going to leave his own development. Well, it is Konami because the next thing, I don't know. Your
the video- story is about him leaving Konami.
Okay. Yeah. Kojima is leaving Kojima, which means he's having a divorce with himself.
Yeah, the copy just doesn't make sense. Rumors suggesting Kojima's departure emerged yesterday after it was discovered that his name and his studio's logos have been scrubbed from the Metal Gear Solid branding. It was later reported that a quote-unquote fallout between Kojima Productions and Konami had led to communications being restricted at the studio with senior staff, including Kojima having...
You did it again, didn't you?
That's what I said.
Kojima.
It's a short I. Having their employment status quote unquote amended to work on a contractual basis. Then earlier today, Konami released a statement revealing that it was seeking new staff to quote unquote lead the development on a quote unquote new Metal Gear title planned for after release of The Phantom Pain.
By the way, maybe you kept on seeing Konami and Kojima together and it's sort of like tongue twisting.
Who writes this copy? Whoever wrote this copy did not write it to be read aloud.
So, I mean, it could be that the new Metal Gear title is a spinoff, like a handheld version.
It could be a mobile version.
Yeah, but if it's true that the logos from Kojima's development house had been removed from Metal Gear Solid, and now Konami is looking for lead development on a new Metal Gear title. It sort of makes you think. And oh, the other thing is that I will continue working on Metal Gear Solid 5. Yeah,
yeah,
that's your current
just
project.
Number 5.
You're not saying anything about 6, 7, or 8. You're just saying we're continue working on Metal Gear Solid 5. So it leads me to believe that where there's smoke, there's fire, and I do think there will be a breakup between the two. Although maybe some deal will be written. You know, I wonder who owns the rights and licensing to Metal Gear Solid. If it's Konami, you know. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, you're as versed as anybody on developer and publisher breakups.
I would think that Konami has the brand at this point.
Yeah. But what do you think? Do you think that there's going to be a divorce here?
It's tough to say. I think that from these specific actions that they're going to be looking for another production partner and not Kojima Productions.
Yeah.
But it may be because they want to take Metal Gear Solid into a new arena like mobile.
It's possible. But this basically reminds me of Activision dropping Harmonix as the developer of Guitar Hero and bringing in Neversoft. It just has that same feel. I think Kojima is going to be doing new games. And, you know, the thing about Hideo Kojima is that he is weird. And his writing is weird.
Well, who isn't weird?
No, he's very weird. And he's also very much the free spirit and independent. And I'm wondering if he's...
Well, who isn't free spirited and independent? Oh, come on.
Anyway, I know what you're trying to say. I'm just wondering if this will allow Kojima to do something other than Metal Gear Solid, because that's all he's done is Metal Gear Solid for the past decade or so, you know?
Hmm.
I mean, maybe it's time for something new, or maybe he doesn't want to do something new.
Maybe he wants to retire from the world of video games altogether.
It's possible.
Maybe he's made his money.
But here's the thing. He said 3 consecutive times, there's no way I'm returning to make Metal Gear Solid 3. There's no way I'm returning to make Metal Gear Solid 4. There's no way there's going to be a Metal Gear Solid 5. This guy is quits and quits and quits and then just comes back. He's like the evil Knievel of video game development. He'll completely quit and then he won't quit. He'll just return again like a drug. Is video game development like a drug, Paul?
You know what? It's video game development is an interesting art form like most others. I mean, you don't get into video game development because you want to secure an easy life. You get into video game development because you have a passion for making fun games. You want to make people happy. You have a message to share with the world, and video games are your medium.
And Hideo Kojima's messages are batshit crazy.
Right. I mean, he might have said everything that he needs to say by making 10 years worth of Metal Gear.
Oh, I think Kojima has plenty to say. He's this far away from wearing that aluminum foil hat, you know. He gets messages from the ether telling him new conspiracy theories to include in his games. Anyway, but getting back to the main thrust of the article, yeah, I think there's a breakup coming. I'm pretty sure, you know, and I won't be brokenhearted because I'm not really that big a fan of Metal Gear.
Yeah, not really my thing either.
Yeah, but, you know, I just wish they didn't screw up Thief because that was my favorite stealth-based game. Anyway, we're going to move to the next item. Atari to indie developer, stop ripping off your own work on Tempest 2000. And this comes from Ars Technica. Now, Paul, did you look at the video I sent?
Oh. I did not get a chance to look at the video you sent. If you want to pause, I didn't realize it was related to the podcast.
Yes, it
is. If you want to pause it.
Let me just
pause the thing so I can watch it.
It's K.
Tempest 2000 for the Atari Jaguar. Okay.
And also TXK.
All right, TXK was the first one.
TXK is the remake.
Oh, TXK, right. But no, I'm saying that the first video was TXK, and now it's moved on to the older one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the new one's a circle.
No, they're both the same. Both of them have the circle.
Oh, okay.
Started at the beginning of the thing, it was a circle. It was the same exact thing. They're both the same thing. As a matter of fact, if you go to the link, they have comparisons of each of the circles.
Okay. So the indie, the indie developer
basically redid his game.
Redid his own game and gave it a different title.
Yeah, basically. But it's just,
okay, that's fine.
And he didn't make the title that much different either. Tempest 2000 TXK.
Okay, TXK has a square board now. Yeah. TXK on the PS Vita. Okay. Right. Yeah, okay, so it's the same game mechanic.
Okay, so well, it's the same game, period. Anyways. Okay, you can stop now. We'll start the... Okay?
Okay.
Okay, after that brief interlude. LlamaSoft developer Jeff Minter is currently embroiled in a heated legal discussion with Atari over the rights to TXK, a tube shooter that released last year on the Vita that bears a striking resemblance to the 1994 Atari Jaguar release Tempest 2000. The apparent similarities between Tempest 2000 and TXK are perhaps unsurprising, since Minter single-handedly did the coding for both games, the former while working for Atari and the latter as an independent developer, cited for 1980's original Tempest, which was the inspiration for Tempest 2000, alongside Atari's David Thurer. Minter even called TXK, quote, an updated version of Tempest 2000 on modern hardware when announcing the Vita game back in 2013. But Minter now says Atari is trying to unduly claim trademark and copyrights to TXK and attempt to stop him from distributing the existing Vita version of the game, as well as planned ports for the PC, PS4, Android, and VR platforms. Oh, in other words, Oculus, right. I think the weirdest aspect of the legal letter thing is how they desperately try to imply I had nothing to do with my own creation, Minter tweeted incredulously. Among the legal accusations allegedly made by Atari, the quotes are Minter's relaying the pieces of Atari, blah, 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 blah. One, Tempest 2000 was merely an update to Tempest, to which Minter made no contribution. Two, there is nothing remotely original TXK that can no way... can it be described as Minter's original creation, and TXK features an electronic music soundtrack and sound effects that are indistinguishable from those used in Tempest 2000. TXK and Minter are profiting from association with the Tempest and Atari brand names. Ironically, Minter says the designer of the PlayStation title Tempest X told him that the game was adapted from Minter's own Tempest 2000 source code, complete with soundtrack and power-up progression, but changed just enough to, quote, reduce the royalty burden owed to Minter. This despite the fact that a playable version of Minter's original Jaguar Tempest 2000 is actually an unlockable secret hidden in the PlayStation port. So, I've seen both games in action, and they're both virtually identical, just with a little bit more resolution on the Vita version. And the thing is that Atari does own the rights to Tempest. And also, you know, Tempest 2000.
Well, see, I mean, this is an interesting situation. Because one, you know, if I'm not mistaken, one is, you know, one's on the Jaguar, which was a system, you know, which we would consider retro at this point.
And one
is on the PS Vita. So if the same guy worked on both games, you know, you work on a game for a large company, that game becomes that company's property. And
right,
that's just kind of how it
for
is.
Atari at the time when he made the Jaguar version of Tempest 2000.
Right, but you can't copyright a gameplay mechanic. You can't copyright the code. Like,
but
you can't copyright a solution to the same problem. So if you later then go and start from scratch and use completely new art assets, completely new code that you did.
He didn't use new art assets, and he didn't use new code.
I mean, did he?
Coded a bit. But here's the thing, is that suppose I was to make a game called Super Marion Brothers with a guy who sort of looks like Mario, except he has a bigger mustache and a smaller cap. Nintendo would be all over me in like 5 seconds. The other thing is that...
Well, yes, if your level design was exactly the same, but they can't yell at you for making, you know, something that somebody that runs and jumps and hits bricks with his head.
Levels are exactly like Tempest, not even Tempest 2000, but Tempest, both of which Atari owns. right? So, I mean, he copied the characters.
He could copy it, but I mean, there's a fine line there. There really is. It's not a brandable, you know, having seen the artwork, they're not brandable characters. It's a triangle. Anybody can draw a triangle.
Right. And it's also a triangle in the same kind of levels, in the same kind of gameplay, exact same gameplay. You know, I mean, there are...
But you can't copyright a gameplay mechanic. You can't copyright running and shooting. You can't copyright aiming in the first person.
See, the thing is that... The other thing I have a problem with is that Jeff Minter's made the same game over and over. I mean, he made something called Space Giraffe, which is basically Tempest, except he did change the characters. And everybody hated it.
Well, I mean, let's be fair. Nobody's calling this man a genius game designer.
No. I don't think he has a leg to stand on. I think people, what's it called, the court will just look at it and say, yeah, you copied your own game and it belonged to someone else. Pay up.
No, I don't think it's that cut and dry. I think it's going to take a much closer look at the source code, at the individual art assets.
Well,
and really all he has to do is prove that it's 30% different.
There's going to be an injunction anyway, no matter what. I'm pretty sure of it. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's going to be an injunction. So if you own a Vita, better buy this game right away.
I just think that it's not as cut and dry as it might appear to be. It's going to take a little bit of closer examination.
I'm going to include the video in the show notes, and
which is fine.
I'm just saying. So people listening to this podcast, go to the site and see for yourself and make the judgment for yourself. You know,
right? But even if the player avatar, which is a triangle. That I guess is supposed to look like a spaceship. I mean, we're not really talking like fantastic. Like, even if that's the same, you know, there are bonus points awarded. You know, there are 2,000
hoo-hahs
or whatever. Right. I mean, if you use a different color and a different font, that is the basis for the difference between one title and the next. And really, all you have to do is prove that it's 30% different.
Paul, you know what a bootleg is, right? This is a bootleg Tempest 2000.
Oh, I'm not saying that this is an honorable thing. I'm saying that it's more complex than it appears to an outside observer.
Well, Pac-Man is just a circle with a slice taken out, you know, or a circle that opens and closes. But you can bet your bottom dollar that Namco protects that image very carefully.
Namco protects the modern Pac-Man because that is the character that they can protect.
Uh-huh. But it's just a geometric shape as well.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's just a yellow circle that opens and closes. I mean, it's a fact that the developer made Pac-Man was inspired by a pizza.
Right, but no, my point is, having just watched a recently made Pac-Man cartoon...
Well, that's something completely...
Is that it's a different character. Like, it's a recognizable character. If I wanted to make a game about a green circle... running around to a maze, I probably could.
Eating dots and eating power pellets to make monsters turn blue, I mean, or green or whatever. No, Namco would
I
be all
over you. I probably could get away with it.
Well,
because it would be different enough.
No,
and
because
you cannot copyright a gameplay mechanic. Dude, Crystal Castles is the exact same game.
No, it is.
As Pac-Man. Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
It is the exact same
game. Does Pac-Man use a trackball?
It is the exact same game.
So, Crystal Castles, for those who don't know, is about a bear that wanders around picking up little red circles, yellow circles on the floor.
Little
dashes. Being attacked by trees. It's also three-dimensional. There is no maze.
It's the same gameplay.
It's not the same gameplay.
Yes, it is. It is the exact same gameplay.
Okay.
You run around the board, touching each space sequentially.
Yeah.
It is the same. This is why we get into arguments where I consistently remind you that you have no idea what I do for a living.
Is Pac-Man in 3D?
They're the same game. They are the same game.
Okay. I'm going to also post videos of Pac-Man and Crystal Castles, and viewers can judge those two as well. We're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Paul. Paul? Xbox for sale.
Xbox for sale. The rumors just won't quit, and this comes to us from Games Industry Biz. Microsoft's Xbox division is in a much healthier state today than it was a year ago. It's had a tough time of it, forced to reinvent itself in an excruciating public way, as the original design philosophy and marketing message of the Xbox One transpired to be about as popular as breaking wind in a crowded lift, resulting in executive reshuffles and a tricky refocus of the... Come on, who's writing this copy?
This is British people, okay? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had someone fart in a crowded elevator?
I can't believe that that's the part of this copy that you're focusing on. It is poorly written, and this is a run-on sentence.
Yeah, well, blame the Brits.
The rumors just won't stop swirling that Microsoft had quietly put Xbox on the market and is actively hunting for a buyer. During GDC and ever since, the question of who will come to own Xbox has been posed and speculated upon endlessly. The console's interactions with Windows 10, including the eventual transition of its own internal OS to the Windows 10 kernel, the supposed backing of Nadella, the acquisition of Minecraft, none of these things have really deterred the talk that Microsoft doesn't see Xbox as a core part of its business anymore and would be happy to see it gone. The particular shakeup of the firm's executive team recently, with Phil Harrison quietly departing and Kudo Sedona stepping up to share management of the some of Microsoft Game Studios teams with Phil Spencer, has added fuel to the fire. This copy is terribly written. None of Xbox's rivals would be in the market to buy such a large division, and no game company would wish to lumber itself with a platform holder business. Neither Apple nor Google make the slightest sense that a new home for Xbox either. The whole product is distinctively quote-unquote un-Apple in its ethos and approach, while Google is broadly wary of hardware and almost entirely disinterested in games. Amazon was the previously mentioned suitor and remains the most likely purchaser, but it's seemingly decided to pursue its own strategy for living room devices for now, albeit with quite limited success.
Okay, so here's a question for you. Now, you can't imagine Nintendo doing this because this is all Nintendo's business. You know, they don't have any side stuff. Nintendo's business is all video games, and that's it, unless you want to count card games. But I don't, you know, that's...
Character merchandise licensing, right?
Sony is in electronics and hardware, but Microsoft has always been a software company, right? Hardware, something that they've always struggled with. I mean, maybe not the Xbox 360, but the other consoles and also their phones. So would you find it surprising if Microsoft decided to get out of the video game business and just get back to software?
I would not be surprised if Microsoft left the games industry, and I would not be surprised at all if Xbox as a brand was not purchased and simply went the way of the Sega.
Well, you know, I've noticed something, that there's never really been a prolonged two-console, you know, existence. There's always been a third. I mean,
really?
There are some stretches, you know, like when, you'd had Sega, Atari, and Nintendo, or Sony, Nintendo, and Sega. You know, for a short while, it was just Nintendo and Sony. You know, but generally, you have three consoles, you know.
I think, quite frankly, that when we, in a year or two, when we talk about modern game systems or modern game companies, we're going to be talking Nintendo, Sony, and Apple.
And Apple's been talked about a long time, and the Pippin came and gone. The thing about...
No. I'm not saying that they're coming out with a new hardware. I'm saying that our perception of Apple's existing hardware strategy is going to be the same as a Nintendo or Sony console, and that Microsoft might be dropping out of the race.
No, because Apple doesn't do what Microsoft does, and neither does Nintendo or Sony, by the way. Microsoft's biggest strength has always been their online gaming. You know, not even Sony has been able to match that. I mean, Sony's always been in catch-up. I don't think the Xbox would ever be sold, but if it was sold, it'd be weird if Amazon would. Could you imagine Amazon owning a console? It would be like the Kindle.
That's my point, is that I think when we start to think of the future of consoles, that they're going to be more akin to tablet PCs.
The other thing is that, you know, Microsoft has too many large brands you know, in terms of video games that the, that would easily drop out. I mean, that would mean giving up Halo. Who would you give up Halo to? You know?
You know what? You charge the other two console manufacturers, or the other one console manufacturer.
I can't see my Master Chief on the Nintendo console.
But you said it yourself that Microsoft has primarily been a software developer.
Yeah.
But so it would make total sense for them to stick with what they know, to stick with what they do very, very well, and license that game out to other platforms. Whoever steps up to fill the void, which quite frankly, I don't think is going to be anybody other than Apple.
But here's the thing, you know, also, Walton, what Microsoft is doing with the Xbox One and Windows 10 seems to tell me that they're still married to each other. You know, it's Microsoft still has plans with the console.
Right. And does keeping those two products marry hinder their wider install base
because they're giving away Windows 10 for free. And there's the thing is that, okay, everybody gets Windows 10 for free. That helps the Xbox One if it's going to be integrated and you can play Xbox One remotely. And especially if they're going to be including, and you're the developer here, putting the
It fascinates me that my opinion seems to count for so little.
Kernel? You know, actually having basically all Windows 10 being Xbox Ones, just without the hardware. You know, that's kind of strange.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if. Look, the console market is shrinking. The console market has been shrinking for the last 7 years.
Well,
it's not just Nintendo made a bad console. It's not just Sony overpriced their latest console. It's not just Xbox One has a PR problem. No, the console segment of the industry is shrinking.
I don't think it's shrinking. I just think it's broadening and the percentages are shrinking.
It's shrinking.
Anyways, you know what?
It's not generating as much money as it used to.
Well, let's go to we're going to segue clumsily into the next one, which is sort of related. Nintendo's next generation console is codenamed the NX, and this comes to us from Engadget. It should come as no surprise to hear that Nintendo is working on a new console. Fresh hardware takes years to develop, so engineers are always working on future systems while the rest of us play the current generation of consoles. In today's press conference, which was 4 days ago, in the press conference that was 4 days ago from the recording of this podcast, the company detailed its plans to make mobile games with Dena, D-E-N-A. It also leased this new system, codenamed the NX. Few details were disclosed other than that it'll involve fresh hardware and gameplay concepts. The NX symbol appeared on a slide alongside the Nintendo Wii U, the 3DS, and other mobile game platforms, which suggests it could launch as a complementary system rather than as an immediate successor to any of its current
of its current consoles. Or it could just, you know, be showing us the planned overlap that seems to accompany every generation shift.
Well, please continue. You know what? You can repeat that because I'm just going to say it again because I stumbled over it. The NX symbol appeared on a slide alongside the Nintendo Wii U, the 3DS, and other mobile platforms, which suggests it could launch as a complementary system rather than an immediate successor to any of its current consoles.
Wait. To be fair, though, that could just show the overlap in generational hardware as will happen with any generational shift. So they could be on the market for, you know, an overlapping year. But please continue.
The NX hardware will also tie in a new membership service that Nintendo is developing with Dena. It is a replacement for Club Nintendo and will incorporate multiple devices, including Wii U, 3DS, and non-Nintendo devices such as smartphones and tablets. While it's no secret that the Nintendo's Wii U has been struggling, despite some standard titles, including Mario Kart 8 and Super Smash Bros. For Wii U, the platform hasn't resonated with consumers like the original Wii or the latest hardware from both Sony and Microsoft. Although, you know, I will debate that I don't know if the PS4 and the Xbox One have resonated that much because software's, I don't know, I think the software for this generation has been terrible.
I think the hardware for this generation, I think we're all just ready for this generation to be over and for us to move on to the next thing.
Many have wondered how long it would take before Nintendo decides to cut its losses and shift focus to the new console entirely. That would, of course, disgruntle existing Wii U owners. So a new system that sits along Nintendo's existing hardware, at least to begin with, makes sense. Nintendo, a chief executive of Nintendo, Satoru Iwata, says that more details about the NX will be, quote unquote, be shared next year. So don't expect any grand announcements at E3 or the next Nintendo Direct. According to Iwata, as proof that Nintendo maintains strong enthusiasm for the dedicated game. I'm really screwing up today. Iwata.
It's not you, it's the copy.
No, it's me. According to Iwata, as proof that Nintendo maintains strong enthusiasm for the dedicated game system business, let me confirm that Nintendo is currently developing a dedicated game platform with a brand new concept under development, codename NX.
This copy's a little misleading. The big news is that Nintendo has officially licensed with Dina to put its characters and its gameplay into the mobile space. They're partnering with one of the largest companies in the mobile space in Japan. It's really like a no-brainer from their point of view as far as their choice of partners.
For Pokemon on my iPad or my Android.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? Why shouldn't you? Because those gameplay mechanics are getting ripped off by other companies.
You know.
But anyway, the NX news is just kind of like a little kicker, just to tell people, yes, we're entering the mobile space, but we are not exiting the console space.
You know, I don't have any evidence behind this, any hard evidence.
Never stopped you before.
But I think this is going to be a new mobile platform that's going to succeed the 3DS, because the one thing about the 3DS, it's been through a lot of iterations. The 3DS, the 2DS, the XL, You know, I think that...
Well, yeah, but so was the DS and so was the Game Boy.
I'm just saying, I think it's going to be... And here's the thing. You know that the DS, that was the code name, and it just stuck. Would you be surprised if the new handheld platform was called the Nintendo NX?
I'd be surprised and a little disappointed. I mean, I would like to think that they're, I don't know, paying their marketing people for something.
I don't know.
Just a thought. Maybe a new title might be nice.
Yeah. So they're hinting around that they're going to be introducing a new feature. You know, much like the 3DS had a 3D screen, the DS had the dual screen and the touch screen. You know, and all that. They already have interconnectivity. Do you think they're, the 3DS actually did do some virtual, not virtual reality, but hyper reality, you know, where you point it and it goes to the camera and you see the table there and, you know, enhanced reality or whatever they call it. You know what I'm
saying? Augmented reality.
Augmented reality. I wonder if that's going to be the new big thing for Nintendo. They're going to stress that.
You know what? Especially with the news about, Magic Leap revealing their augmented reality headset, I kind of think it might be a possibility.
Well, here's the thing. You know, Nintendo does this all the time. I remember with the 3DS, they were saying, well, we have 3D, but you don't need to wear glasses for it. So augmented reality.
True.
Yeah, you have virtual reality with the Oculus, but you know what? You don't need a helmet to do our augmented reality.
Very true.
You know, so... That's one possibility.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised, but I wouldn't make that the only bet that I would have for Nintendo at this point.
So, yeah, Club Nintendo was quote-unquote canceled, although it wasn't.
Okay, you know what? Let me just point out to the elephant in the room. Club Nintendo sucked. All right?
You're saying in comparison to the original Club Nintendo.
I'm saying that the concept of Club Nintendo as a customer loyalty program was awful.
Then or now?
Whatever it was when it closed. Okay. How long had Club Nintendo been around?
Well, wasn't there two iterations of Club Nintendo? They closed it and then they opened it again?
My point being, it's a standard rewards program where you purchase a product from a company, you enter a code, and you collect points that are then redeemed for other,
right,
for other gifts from the company to continue your enhanced experience with that brand. Nintendo failed when they did that. You had to buy a certain number of games in a year in order to make it at all worth it. The prizes were terrible. Not every game that was on the platform counted. I mean, it just really was not. And your points expired. What was the point? if you bought only one Nintendo game a year for 5 years, you should be just as rewarded as someone who bought five games in a month.
Okay.
Otherwise, you are not rewarding the loyalty of your customers. You should actually, someone who buys one game a year for 5 years should be more rewarded than someone who buys all of their games at once, because you're rewarding the loyalty. You're rewarding someone who will stick through with you through the bad times. So even if you're only going to buy every version of every version of Smash Brothers, and that's it, you should be rewarded. As a customer loyalty program, it was awful.
Okay, so you're more
No loss there.
You're more plugged in with this than I am. So tell us about this new company, DNA or Dina.
They're not new.
I mean this company that you're referring to.
Dina has been really large in the mobile space in Asia for a number of years. I'm trying to find an appropriate analogy. It would be
Rovio, or Rovio are the Angry Birds people.
Exactly. It would kind of be like if Nintendo officially partnered with the Angry Birds people here in the US. They have some innovative games. They're a known brand outside of our country, and it just makes sense for Nintendo to have chosen them as a partner.
So I'm wondering, is this going to be an Asian-only thing, or is this going to be worldwide?
No, absolutely not. Otherwise, why would they make an announcement on it? They're coming to the mobile space. The mobile business is worldwide. You know, Apple releases almost identical products.
Well, remember, Nintendo said that their biggest competitor wasn't Sony, it was Apple. That's right. What they said repeatedly.
Right, and so now they're going to be on Apple platforms.
Yeah. And other platforms, Google and
Right. So they only are competing with Apple when it comes to
hardware.
Mobile hardware.
Yeah.
But you know what? The great deal about a partnership where everybody gets a third is that everybody stays in business. Everyone can pay their bills.
So I'm assuming this gets the Paul Nowak official seal of approval.
Of cautious optimism.
Okay.
It really depends on what Nintendo does and what Dina does with these properties. Is the traditional Super Mario World side-scrolling going to work well on an iPhone 5, which will probably still be supported by the time these games come out? I don't know. It's a smaller screen. It requires a lot more, the feel of a Mario game is a lot faster processing power than I think the iPhone 4 or 5 would have.
Well, I would imagine
that I'm really wary. But if they do something new and interesting, it could really take off for them.
There are plenty of Nintendo handheld games that are not action or platformers. You know, like Advance Wars and Pokemon.
Right.
And various RPGs. I mean, there are certain things that really work well with mobile phones that don't work well, there are certain things that don't work well with mobile phones, like things that require, fine control.
Exactly. Like, is Smash Brothers going to work on a mobile phone? Probably not.
No, actually, I could see that working a little bit better because you could use your finger to guide them.
What are you going to do? You're going to have live networked play with somebody in Asia? Do you realize how slow that would be?
No, I mean, what about Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, local Wi-Fi? I'm just saying,
It depends. Cautious optimism.
Right.
It could go really well. It could go really bad.
Okay, we're going to move on to listener feedback. Take it away, Paul.
From Alpha Shard. Great episode, guys. I'm glad the cop got fired. Not only is that behavior unacceptable, but he doesn't have the intelligence to realize he shouldn't give his information out on Xbox like that. This is an apparent proof that there is something very wrong with our police force, not just with Mississippi. City Skyline, what Sim City should have been. I wish EA would learn from things like this. Do you think they notice or care about the game's apparent success?
I'm pretty sure they notice very, very. I think that they were very aware of what was going on. And whatever SimCity 2 or whatever they're going to call it. I mean, what can they call it? They can't call it – they didn't call the SimCity SimCity 5, right? Are they going to call the next one SimCity 6, SimCity Next, SimCity 2000 – maybe SimCity 2016 or something like that, just the year?
I would start going with the year if I was a lot of companies.
But I think EA noticed and they're probably going to – and the thing is that they – they're starting to realize that a lot of people want single player and single player only. Anyways, moving.
Gee, I wonder who's been saying that for years on this podcast. not every game needs to be hyper connected to everybody else. Sorry, it really just doesn't. Goat Simulator is a weird game that really doesn't hold interest for me. Not me neither, Alpha Shard. Thanks for calling. As for the question of the week, I'd say pizza rolls or anything not too greasy or that leaves crumbs. I can't stand getting my controllers messy. Good pizza call. Rolls.
That's why. But you see, pizza rolls are
aren't pizza rolls usually fried?
No, you put them in the microwave and you bake them. Or either microwave them or...
But no, they were fried at some point.
Yeah, they were... Well, they're pre-fried. They're pre-fried.
What is wrong with this country?
But, you know, pizza rolls are in the same family as Hot Pockets, really. They're just contained foods, you know, with filling that don't... Well, they do splash everywhere if you eat them wrong. But, you know, they're contained foods.
They are not good for you. And I think that we as gamers should be demanding more from our sustenance.
Yeah. Anyways, he gets the code for cat lateral damage.
It's good for him.
Yeah. And that's a game, Alpha, in which you're a cat and you're destroying a room. That's all you do. As fast as possible. Just wreck the place. Look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast, or the forums at gamingpodcast.net/forum, or send your comments to fans@gamingpodcast.net. Let's subscribe to us on iTunes and leave some iTunes comments. And for God's sake, why don't you – I don't know what happened with the hits. It's like an unusually low spike, and last week was an unusually high spike. It's just very strange to me. I just hope it's a one-time occurrence. I don't want to, you know, come back and see that only two people downloaded the episode again after a week.
I got to tell you guys, I'm not really feeling the love.
Yeah, you know, Alpha, show Paul the love.
Somebody, show me love.
Yeah, and maybe we'll have more cat lateral codes to give out.
Woohoo!
Cat lateral.
Woohoo! Something I know nothing about.
Well,
wait, I remember Cat Lateral. We talked about that.
Yeah, I actually...
Sorry, just... So the ROM takes a minute sometimes.
You know what? I actually realized that I actually backed it on Kickstarter and forgot about it.
Good for you.
Well, that's because I was just helping Sean Batiste, who's the developer. You know, I said, oh, okay, I'll back it for you because, you know, you're a friend and, you know, I want to help you.
Why not, really?
Excuse me. It's a $5 game on Steam. Go ahead and check it out. So, anyways, we will see you next week. I demand that I see higher hit rates, or else I'm going to have to start doing gimmicks on this show. Like, I will do the next show completely nude.
Oh, please, God, no.
I will do it completely nude. You'll be able to hear me nude on the podcast. And then Paul,
why would you people do this to me? I don't understand.
Paul will wear a really silly hat. Do you have any silly hats?
Oh, God.
This is the theme to Gary Show. The theme to Gary Show. Gary called me up and asked if I would write his theme song. I'm almost halfway finished. How do you like it so far? How do you like the theme to Gary Show? This is the theme to Gary Show. The opening theme to Gary Show. This is the music that you hear as you watch the credits. We're almost to the part of where I start to whistle. Then we'll watch it's Gary Shandling Show. This was the theme to Gary Shandling Show.
Oh, no.
I don't even know where to take this conversation anymore.
You know what? Actually, I'll just put a lot of I'll have a lot of sound clips during the next episode of characters from My Little Pony.
Make it stop! Oh, make it stop!
Including Pinky.
Was it the Brony titled episode that got a huge number of hits?
No, actually, the one that got a huge number of hits was the New Year one, the Welcome to 2015 one. The Brony one had some hits, yeah, but. It was the New Year's episode that really just skyrocketed. But you know what? Let me ask you a question, Paul. Here's the question for you.
If you'd like. Be careful. I do tend to answer
questions. I'm
going to
guess which one you are, and I'm not a Brony. But if you were to identify with any My Little Pony, which would it be? And I'm going to guess Pinkie Pie.
Wow, you don't know me at all.
Okay, which one do you identify most with?
I am an equal split between Rainbow Dash and Applejack.
Yeah, I like it.
I have a hyper-developed sense of loyalty, which is my downfall, which often extends quite nicely, actually, with my love of my family.
Okay, that's cool.
And like I just said before answering this question, the problem with asking me questions is that I'm going to give you an honest answer.
That's what I wanted, an honest answer.
Well, my point being, you wanted me to lie? Well, my point is, if you had known anything about the show, you would know that Rainbow Dash and Applejack are the spirits of loyalty and honesty.
Okay, well, guess what? That's our question of the week. Which My Little Pony would you be? And this
Ooh, which bronies, pony are you?
Which this is for the bronies who listen to this podcast. I want to see how many bronies listen to our podcast. There have to be quite a few with Paul here.
God, I would hope so. Let's see. What pony are you, Jonah?
Me?
Which pony are you? I mean, I have my suspicions.
Oh, really now?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Who's that red horse?
You are not Big Macintosh. Hate to break it to you.
What?
Hate to break it to you. You are not Big Macintosh. You've never seen this show.
Well, I'm going from what I've seen, you know.
You are Maud Pie, and we all know it.
No.
Yes.
I have no idea who that is, and I don't think so.
You are Maud Pie.
The only one I really know is Applejack, just simply because it's the avatar for Linkara on My Little Linkara.
No, that's, you know, her character design. You know what she looks like. That's not the same thing, Jonah.
Uh-huh. Who's that little dinosaur? Scrap Punk? I forgot. I know he has a single word name.
That would be Spike, the purple baby dragon.
Yeah.
Who has been in, I think, every incarnation of My Little Pony.
Well, that's who it is then.
You're not a Spike. Sorry. John Ross is a Spike. You are no Spike.
Who the heck is John Ross?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Oh, really? Well,
if you don't know John Ross, you should.
Oh, guess what? That's our first cliffhanger. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, well, listen, everybody. It was nice having you this week. Please listen in. And hopefully when we check next week, we'll have more numbers. So see you next week.
Bye, Bonds. Oh, what do I care? It's their retirement account.
Well, I thought you were going to say what? It's good advice.
I mean, you know, well, who's listening, apparently? Who knows who takes my advice?
Please, everybody, listen to the show. I don't like – me no like low numbers. Maybe – did anything happen last week that would have distracted? Oh, you know what? We were away for a week.
Were we away for a week?
Yeah, because you were at GDC and I was at PAX East. So maybe people forgot that we were coming back.
Maybe they thought we were on hiatus like so many other shows do.
Mm, well, you know what? At least Alpha Shard realized that we were back and got us the letter a couple of minutes before we started recording.
Thank God we were running late.
Yeah. Thank God for your bad driving skills.
Hey, don't make me fight LA traffic.
Yeah, actually, it's spring. Isn't that when the guns come out? That's from LA Story.
That's racist.
No, it's not.
That's racist.
No, you've never seen LA Story, have you?
That's racist.
You know, I'm going to say it again. See you next week, everybody.